AM 640, more stimulating talk. Bill Handel, morning crew. Coming up at 8 o'clock, the Pope meets with six abuse victims and apologizes again, begs for forgiveness, and I'm going to tell you why it's a complete utter crock. And that's coming up at 8 o'clock. Not that I'm accusing the Pope of being a crock, but that's exactly what I'm accusing the Pope of being. Rich Murata will be very depressed and screaming at me during the entire segment, but too bad. All right. Now, Eric Leonard is covering the Donald Sterling trial. So tell us what happened or what didn't happen yesterday and what we are probably going to see today.
Well, today's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting because old Donald Sterling is going to be pushed, wheeled, carried, or walked into court at 2:30 this afternoon because the judge in probate court in downtown L.A. that is listening to his wife Shelley's arguments about why she should be and is in full control of the family trust that holds the ownership of the Clippers and why she should be allowed to sell the team has demanded that Donald Sterling testify. In fact, in a very dramatic fashion, Shelley Sterling's attorney, Pierce O'Donnell, stood up in open court yesterday when the judge called for the first witness, and he goes, "Your Honor, Shelley Sterling calls Donald Sterling to the stand," and he waves his arm back towards the gallery of the courtroom as if Donald Sterling is sitting there waiting to testify, but he wasn't.
I'm assuming he was subpoenaed.
He was.
And failed to show up.
In fact, Pierce O'Donnell, the lawyer for Shelley Sterling, was asked to provide proof of service, meaning proof that Donald Sterling had been served with a subpoena, and rather than an actual proof of service, he was able to produce emails and a lawyer from Donald Sterling's side who had agreed to accept service on Donald Sterling's behalf, which means technically no one had to send a process server to hand Donald Sterling personally a piece of paper. His lawyer accepted on his behalf and didn't show up.
Hey, and was the judge upset about this? You would think that's bench warrant time, usually.
Well, and that's what Shelley Sterling's side wanted. They definitely wanted some sort of dramatic order from the judge, and it was just enough for the judge to say, you need to be here tomorrow at 2:30. And perhaps the reason the judge wasn't more infuriated with all of this is because this was at 2:30 in the afternoon yesterday. This was after hours and hours of hearings that delayed the start of this trial because Donald Sterling's legal team had already unsuccessfully tried to thwart the beginning of the trial. First, they made a series of motions asking for delays and continuances. Donald Sterling's lawyer, Gary Bettman, said that the trial that was going to determine the fate of the Clippers was beginning in 27 days after the judge set the time for the trial, which he said was a violation of his client's rights for discovery and pretrial preparation because under statute they're required to have 30 days to prepare for a trial. And this was starting 27 days after the announced date, and that wasn't fair. He said that they wanted to be able to depose witnesses, and they wanted to be able to conduct a pretrial discovery and investigation, and they were being denied all of those rights. And the judge said, "Hey, you've been in court for a bunch of pretrial hearings over the last few weeks. You've never brought this up before. If you were so interested in deposing people or doing an investigation, why wouldn't you have said something 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago or last Monday when you were here?" Denied. Then Donald Sterling's attorneys tried to get the case removed from state court and transferred over to federal court under the idea that the core issue in this matter has to do with these two medical exams that Donald Sterling was given in which he was found to be mentally incapacitated and therefore unable to control the finances of the family trust. Well, they're not arguing about the validity of the medical findings. Everybody accepts that the doctors found and legitimately found that Donald Sterling has some cognitive problems, possibly as the result of the onset of Alzheimer's. What they are arguing about is whether or not Donald Sterling was tricked into these medical exams. And as proof of that, the reports from the exams are evidence in this case. Donald Sterling's lawyers argued in an emergency filing late last week and then in court again yesterday that Sterling's medical records, these reports generated by two different doctors who evaluated him, are private, federally protected medical information under the HIPAA, Health Information Privacy and Portability Act, and therefore are illegal to use in court. And not just are they illegal, but also Sterling, Donald Sterling's medical privacy rights were violated. So the proper venue for this trial is actually federal court.
Now, a quick question. Yes. Don't the HIPAA laws, can't they be argued in state court?
Yes.
And so I don't quite understand the reasoning of bringing in federal court, because the same rules apply. HIPAA rules apply state or federal.
Yeah,
and is that why they said, no, thank you, we're not going to hear it?
You'd be in agreement with the U.S. District Court federal judge George H. Wu, who promptly said no and sent the case back to state court. So the trial was supposed to start at 8:30 yesterday morning, didn't get going until almost 3 o'clock in the afternoon because of all of this. And perhaps, in answer to your question about 18 minutes ago, why wasn't the judge more frustrated that Donald Sterling wasn't there? Well, there was only an hour of court time to go by the time this all got sorted out. And the other first witness for Shelley Sterling was there and began to testify, a doctor who is one of the two that evaluated Donald Sterling. Today, we're going to hear more from her. She's going to be cross-examined by Donald Sterling's lawyers. And then at 2, Donald Sterling is going to take the stand. And again, in this case, the focus of this is not whether or not he's incapacitated. They've sort of agreed that that's a foregone conclusion now. What they are arguing about is the process and whether or not Donald Sterling knew he was being evaluated for the specific purpose of possibly removing him as a trustee.
No, it makes sense. The analogy here is a failure to comply with Miranda warnings, where something, evidence is produced that virtually guarantees the guilt of someone, and no one argues that the evidence was there. It's just, can it be used in court?
Pretty much. And so they're going to talk about that. They're going to also argue about whether or not the trust itself was dissolved by Sterling prior to the negotiation that has resulted in this planned sale of the Clippers to the former Microsoft executive for $2 billion. Because not only was Donald Sterling's side trying to stop this trial from happening, trying to get the medical records thrown out as being a privacy violation, they're also arguing that Sterling dissolved the trust in advance of these negotiations to sell the team. If that's the case, then the assets of the trust go back to the two trustees, which are Donald Sterling and Shelley Sterling. It becomes community property in California. They each have a 50% stake, and that means Shelley Sterling doesn't have majority control to conduct this sale. It would throw a major wrench into all of this. And the reason they're in a rush to get this done is because the NBA has set a July 15th deadline for NBA owners to vote on whether or not to approve the sale of the team to Steve Ballmer. So Shelley Sterling is demanding that this happen quickly so she can get a ruling out of court this week that says she's in charge and she has the authority to sell the team.
Now, this is going to be great, because if it turns out that the trust was dissolved, then this gets to be, you're going to have a ball with this.
Well,
because it's going to be crazy, because you've got him, she goes to court to have a court judge order the sale, which can be done under community property rules, maybe. And then, of course, is he forced to sell the team because he agreed to do what the other NBA owners did, and can vote on? It's going to be wonderful.
Oh, and imagine if this trial fails to give Shelley Sterling the standing she needs to sell the team by herself. That means that the NBA is going to force the sale. And out the window goes this $2 billion price tag, because once everybody knows that the team must be sold, the value plummets.
Exactly.
And she's also arguing, incidentally, that her job as a trustee is to get the most money possible, which means she has to sell it this way. So lots of good stuff.
Right. Real quick. Today, Sterling is going to testify. You'll be no doubt talking to, I'm assuming, John and Ken by the time this is over.
Yeah, we'll be there. And also, we're still standing by in the same courthouse for a possible verdict in the Brian Stowe case. That's still going as well.
Big deals. Okay. All right. Talk to you later, Eric. We'll be hearing from him, no doubt, tomorrow. Maybe we'll have an answer as far as Sterling is concerned. His testimony today on the Bill Carroll Show, and certainly by John and Ken this afternoon. All right. Coming up, I don't know if you've been to Magic Mountain, but they advertise really exciting rides. Hey, they're going to re-advertise Ninja, the greatest ride in the world. And by the way, you know how pissed off people get that it's only a 2-minute, 3-minute ride? How about a 3-hour ride? I'd pay big money for that. This is KFI AM 640. More talk. Okay. I almost got that out, didn't I, correctly? Hoffman. Stimulating talk.
Yeah, I
knew that.
You sprained your tongue there for
no,
a second.
No, I did. I just, you know what? It was, I was about to go, about to go into the wrong direction. And because I, my mouth generally runs much faster than my brain, as you know that.
Coming up after 3 o'clock on the John and Ken Show, will Donald Sterling seem demented on the stand when he testifies? Or will he help convince the judge that he's absolutely fine? Coming up after 3.
John and Ken, today at 3. AM 640, more stimulating talk.
KFI, AM 640, handle July 8th on a Tuesday. Now, news that's traveling around about the Magic Mountain, the ride at Magic Mountain, let's say, going south. Although, you know what, there are people going to argue that hanging so almost upside down for 3 hours on the Ninja ride is not so bad. Hey, Hoffman, you think those folks are going to get a refund for the day? Or at least a partial refund, depending on what time did this happen, afternoon or morning? And I don't know the answer. Do you? You're chewing on something. If it were afternoon, then they're probably entitled to half of the money that they spent. That's my guess. So 2 dozen people are trapped for about 3 hours on Ninja. And that is the roller coaster that goes about 55 miles an hour. And when a branch fell on the track, one of the trains, one of the cars derailed, and there they were hanging. And in one case, I think, where two cars were actually hanging over the edge, or one car was hanging over the edge, there was never an issue as to people getting injured because they're very good at making these rides safe. But I thought what I would do is spend a moment or two talking about theme park accidents and what happens. Now, the granddaddy of accidents, of course, is Disneyland. That's been going on since 1955. And the first death at Disneyland, and that's after, I don't know, many hundreds of million people, where Disneyland was at fault. Now, there are people that have died. Idiots stand up, for example, on the train, the Calico train ride, and they stand up or on the Matterhorn, and they get tossed out. They unbuckle their belt or whatever, and off they go. Those are the morons. But we're talking about the first real death, I think happened, what, 5-6 years ago? After how many years that Disneyland had been in operation where it was Disney's fault, and it was one of the cleats on the Columbia, the ship that travels around Tom Sawyer Island. I don't even know if it's Tom Sawyer Island anymore. And a cleat flew off, and the ship was going too fast, and it hit a Chinese tourist in the head. And there's nothing like a 9-pound piece of metal flying at 200 miles an hour through someone's head that'll cause some problems. But there are more accidents at these theme parks than we're going to know about. And the reason is that the parks try to keep it very quiet. And if it's an individual accident, the vast majority are slip and falls. The vast majority, someone takes a tumble and maybe they're horribly injured. Maybe they're not. Who knows? And it's no big deal. What are you going to call the press and go, someone fell down? And so those are the majority of the accidents in the park. And I'll tell you what Disney does as well as the other parks is they settle. They settle fairly quickly. And part of a settlement is you shut up. That's always part of a settlement. You don't tell anybody. You don't go public with how much money you have. And you don't go public that it even happened. And if you do, that's in breach, and they can sue you for breach. And they will. Especially Disney. They are brutal. They are not shy about litigation. They go very quickly. Now, the ones that are pure BS and fraud, and how many of you think those are, Disney simply will go to court on it. Just go to court or ask for a dismissal. And that normally works. For example, in 2013, a quadriplegic was awarded $8,000 after being stranded on a broken, it's a small world ride with that repetitive theme song blaring continuously. Do you know, I've been in that situation. I should have sued Disney for $25,000, and I probably would have gotten it. 45 minutes listening to that god-awful, it's a small world. It's a small world after all. It's a small, oh, God, just thinking about it gives me a headache. You want to engage in real torture, effective torture? It's a small world for a few hours. And it'll be like Scanners. The brain will explode. So will we see a settlement? Yes, we will. You bet we will. Will we know how much money? No, we never will. Now, there have been some good ones in which Disney has been sued, and they should have. There was a woman who was paid more than $500,000 after a food court umbrella blew over, hit her in the head, and triggered seizures. So there have been some legitimate ones, and I don't know how we got the $500,000 figure. That somehow became public, because I tell you, the woman didn't say anything, for sure. All right, coming up, the border crisis continues. We'll go more into what's going on in Murrieta. As far as the campgrounds that are supposed to be involved with the migrants that are being bussed in. And later on we'll talk to David Cruz, too, about what happened with the CHP beating up that woman on the 10. So we got a lot to cover.
Live, local, stimulated.
KFI.
More stimulating talk.
KFI, AM 640, Handle, July 8th on Tuesday. An update on the Murrieta issue. And God, what a mess Obama has on his hands. And it doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't matter. He is going to be labeled as doing it all wrong. I love this. I was just watching Fox News this morning, and they were talking about the Israeli conflict that's going on with the missiles flying in from Gaza into Israel and the fact they may have a conflict. One of the commentators on Fox said Obama is at fault here. This is Obama. If Obama had been a better president, none of this would have ever happened. The Israelis would not go against Gaza. Hamas wouldn't be firing rockets. None of this if it weren't for Obama. Well, we're getting the same situation going here. Now, it might be that Obama and the administration missed all of the signs. I don't know yet of what kind of intelligence there were, whether this could have been figured out beforehand. Maybe yes, maybe no. Probably yes. But let's look at what's happening now, and let's look at what Obama is trying to do. Wants $2 billion, wrong. Wants to deport as many people as possible, wrong. Now, these are Republicans talking. He's not doing anything. So let's go to Murrieta for a moment. The demonstrators who are opposed to the illegal immigration stood their ground again at the Murrieta Border Patrol Station yesterday. I thought that after the first go-round and the government would come in with the buses in the middle of the night and bring in trained riot police, this would be over. It is not over. It looks like these demonstrators now have the upper hand. The Border Patrol has been scheduled to transfer a third round of buses with about 140 illegal aliens aboard in total per round. And two times now they failed. And it looks like the demonstrators are actually getting stronger. They were being transferred from a Texas detention facility, overcrowded. And for this third time, the buses were rerouted to San Ysidro. The demonstrators gathered in areas to the north and south of the station, and law enforcement blocked off the road to the station itself. And many said they considered their stand a success, since buses scheduled for Murrieta, in fact, are as avoiding it as long as demonstrators remain. So they've successfully won two rounds. Where the buses actually attempted to go in, we're waiting for the third, and the demonstrators are sitting there. And I'll tell you why they're winning on this one, because now you have new first-time demonstrators, and they're coming from many different sources, all the way from enlisted Marines to legal immigrants from Germany, Mexico, Central America. And even while that's happening, the anti-illegal immigration demonstrators are planning to be ready at any ostensible transfer, any attempted transfer of illegal aliens to that Murrieta station. So we know that this is going to continue. A spokesman for Murrieta, the city of Murrieta, said this.
Our Murrieta PD asked the bus drivers to just stay put while they could wait for backup. The bus drivers or whoever was on the bus calling the shots chose to not wait for the backup and on their own accord chose to back up the buses and turn around. Our biggest concern moving forward is that something of violence could break out.
All right, now what's going on with Obama? He's got a mess on his hands. This guy is not going to be able to deal with this successfully because there is no success story here. So you have a renewed focus on immigration. The administration plans to delay now asking Congress to change existing laws to a law allow more unaccompanied children because there was a sentiment saying we have to treat unaccompanied children very differently than we treat adults coming into the country, even with families. These are just poor kids who are trying to flee these disgusting governments at home. El Salvador, Guatemala, in this case, Honduras, where they have no chance of succeeding, no chance of having any of the benefits that we have here in America, and a very good chance of simply being killed by the narco-traficantes and the vigilante groups out there. So the government, the Obama administration, was saying, all right, we're going to treat these kids differently because let's just look at the humanitarian aspect of this. That's changed. That's all gone. Now the trend is going to be, let's see how quickly we can deport these kids to their home countries. Coming back, I'll tell you exactly what Obama is doing, trying to do, and the political fallout here. This is KFI AM 640, more stimulating talks.
Coming up on Thompson and Espinosa, Donald Sterling, he's back in court.
Donald Sterling, the pack of lawyers, the whole wacky Sterling crew. We'll talk about the courtroom proceedings, and we'll talk about the Clippers on the court.
Oh, yeah, Shelly, your girl.
Oh, yeah.
Thompson and Espinosa, this afternoon at 1. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk.
And this is a KFI handle, July 8th on a Tuesday. More on what's going on in Murrieta. And it looks like, which I didn't think was going to happen, is that the Murrieta protesters are succeeding in keeping out the illegal aliens who are being bussed in. First of all, flown in from Texas to San Diego and then bussed in from San Diego to Murrieta because there is a Border Patrol facility which has no way of being able to handle the influx of these illegal aliens. And because so many of the, we're talking about kids now, so many of these youngsters are going across the border that the U.S. has been simply overwhelmed. Just great numbers just are overwhelming. You know, it's almost like how does an army that has absolutely no arms go against a well-equipped army? Just overwhelm them. Just throw the numbers out. And that seems to be the case. So in the meantime, the kids still keep on coming. And a lot of it has to do with, first of all, the narco-traficantes, the cartels began to realize, and now we're in full bloom in grabbing these kids and helping them across the border and having the parents cough up $5,000, $7,000, I mean, years worth of wages so the kids can have an opportunity to get some of the benefits, any benefit that the United States offers, which is far better than anything that's happening in Central America. It's a toilet down there. I mean, it's a toilet on a level that we really can't even comprehend. As I've told you, our housekeeper used to be our nanny, Maria, came from El Salvador, and she describes the utter horror of having lived in El Salvador. She came up illegally, and last amnesty program, she applied for, she was here living illegally for many years, and she applied for and got amnesty. She's now a U.S. citizen, so she's going no place, and that's the only chance she had for having the kind of life that she is living. Which working for us is not so good, I must tell you. A lot of overworking her, not feeding her very much, telling her if you don't work appropriately and work for no money and no food, we're sending you right back. and we've convinced her that an American passport in her case means nothing. I hope she's not listening. Marie, if you're listening, I'm just doing this for the purpose of this show, okay? Fair enough. Now, so what is going on and what is the government dealing with this? Well, the government really has no good way to deal with this. And I keep on saying, because of the influx of these kids coming in, you got a couple of issues. Number one, you have to treat kids, and the government has treated kids far differently than they treat adults. You can't take a 12-year-old, 13-year-old that's walked 1,000 miles and treat them the same way as an adult who has done exactly the same thing, a 25-year-old male, a 30-year-old male, when you're having, a 13-year-old female coming across. So it is almost impossible to deal with this. The administration has asked for $2 billion in help to fund additional border patrol, to fund additional judges, to fund facilities. There was a call yesterday, Steve Gregory talked about it, where the government has set up, just literally sent an email, help us out. We need facilities. We need warehouses. We need any place where we can park these people. We need the help. It's gotten that desperate. So a couple things are going on. First of all, and I love this, Boehner said no to the $2 billion. There will not be a vote coming up with any aspect of immigration. Just not going to happen because the president did it all wrong. Okay, the president did it all wrong. It's his fault. This is happening. I understand it's his fault. Everything wrong with America is Obama's fault. I get that. I don't have a problem. Today I was just laughing because I was watching Fox News, and what's going on with Hamas and Israel is Obama's fault. If he had done a better job, this never would have happened. Okay, sure, why not? But we have a problem now. We have to deal with it now. Now what do we do? Is it time for this partisan crap to stop on this level? So the president wants a ton more money. And I said there is no answer. And now I want to refer to, and I've said this often, we have many idiot listeners to this show. And there's a reason we don't take phone calls is because for some reason the idiots call in. And I just go, I don't have patience for this. I have no patience for stupid. And I am getting a lot of stupid because a universal answer seems to be, and I'm getting email after email, just set up the National Guard and push them back home. Just move them back across the border. Just bring in National Guard. Okay, how many do you think it takes? Tens of thousands. How do you feed them? Well, we have to set up, of course, the facilities. Where do they sleep? Well, we have to set up sleeping facilities. How do we do all of this while these people are pouring in? Well, we have to build the fence. Okay, so we build, and I think I'm a big fan of building the fence, which I think a few thousand miles of fence, we take the bid out. Well, we undo the bidding process, which usually takes months and months and months, and we don't worry about the budget of building a fence because that's taking too long. And then we can build the fence, hundreds of miles of fence. We can do that, and I'll bet you about 2 weeks. You see, the answer is simple. Just build the fence. And incidentally, I don't know how you push them back across the border. You put them on buses. Well, wait, how many buses do we need for that when you've got 100,000 coming over? We'll figure out a way. You know what? We can always get buses. And then we push them back across the border. What does that mean? What if they don't go? Well, you got the National Guard there. They've got the weapons. Do you physically push them across the border? Yeah. By the way, we're talking about moving them back to El Salvador. What if Mexico says no, thank you? What if Mexico says no? We're not going to take any El Salvadorians or Hondurians or Guatemalans. Or during, as you know, during the World Cup, and we talked about the gonorrheans who were playing in the World Cup. See, there's no easy answer here, and everybody thinks there's an easy answer. So we have the administration saying, here's our plan. This is what we're going to do immediately, and we want $2 billion. We have to fund our emergency plan right now. No, if you had done it right, this never would have happened. Okay. I have no patience for this because the answers are so complex. And in the end, if you have enough people coming over, you know, I don't know if there even is an answer when you have an influx of hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people. Because I'll tell you what the administration is doing on the other hand. And this is the political correctness business. This is where the administration is every day, I think, doing it wrong. And that is the humanitarian aspect. I get that. But every time there is a mention of anything that is pro-illegal alien, even if it's justified, even the DREAM Act, for example, which I'm totally in favor of, the second any positive bit of news comes out, the news sweeps across Central America and Mexico. You see? They're now making it easier. You see? Now come across the border. You see? Just give us $5,000. We'll bring you across the border. You see? You're not going to be deported. You see? And so the president is, at this point, changing his philosophy completely and telling teenagers, you will be deported. Do you understand? You come here, we will process you, which, of course, people go, why would you process them? I don't know. It's the law. Are they allowed to go in front of a judge? No, they're not, because we have a problem with illegal immigration here. All right, so let's take away their rights in front of a judge. They don't have constitutional rights, nor should they. We should only limit constitutional rights to American citizens. But wait a minute. The courts have said that's all crap. Doesn't matter what the courts say. We've got the answer. What is the answer? National Guard, throw them across the border. No judicial review at all. We'll straighten this out. Idiots. Idiots. I have no patience with stupid. And that is genuinely stupid. Thank you so much for your input, ladies and gentlemen. We're now going to go off subject, and we are going to talk about that cop beating of the woman on the 10 freeway. And David Cruz has been all over this, and he has insight that, well, it's a David Cruz insight, which no one else has. We'll talk to David coming right up. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk.